One of the areas that brings about these situations with us, with you and with me, being honest. After all, I got my wife sitting here. You know, I got to be careful what I say here. And many of them are brought about by stress in our lives, and I seriously doubt that any other generation has experienced more stress than we face in our generation, in our times, in our days. We live in an extremely stressful time. Now I ask you to turn in your Bible to Luke 10, chapter 38 to 42. And I want to read that passage. Then I want to come back and read it again in another translation for you. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Isn't it amazing how the Word of God speaks to issues that were issues in the lives of people in Bible times, but they're still with us today? I want to read this to you in a translation that I personally use in my daily devotions. And it's called the New Living Translation. And that same passage reads like this. "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Stress. Well, I'd like to look at stress this morning from this passage that we're talking about. Now listen, the first thing that we have to understand is that all of us are subject to these afflictions of humanity. We all suffer stress. In our world today, stress may be more than at any other time. Let's look at Mary and Martha. Martha, to begin with, was overjoyed when the Lord showed up at her door. She was joyful and happy. Now, that was about to disappear because of Martha's actions. It was about to change radically in her life. And but it changed because She had chosen to overload her life and walk the path of stress. Do you find stress in your life today? Martha was stressing herself out. It says that she was distracted, which really distracted was a passive word. Now, if you don't remember your high school English, verbs can be active and they can be passive. When they're active, that means we do it. When they are passive, that means it's done to us. Right? And so, Mary did something, and then, let's put it this way, she suffered the consequences, so that now something's done to her. Now let's look at the passage and see what Mary did. And said, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman, Martha, welcomed him. She was joyful at this point into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, that was Martha's choice. That was what Martha actively did. She chose to serve. But there was an issue with her serving. Now, one of the commentaries I read, it said that she was, and this is reading into the passage, but it says she was distracted by a lot of things that she wanted to do that weren't really necessary. I don't know about that, but Mary chose the serving. She wanted to serve. And you know, when I think of the ministry, that's where so much of my life takes place in the ministry. I can tell you over and over men in the ministry and pastors who have lost their families. They have upset their whole ministries and their churches because they didn't know how to set priorities for themselves, and they allowed their serving of God to stress them out so bad. And this happens to all of us, no matter where you're involved. But I'm telling you, with preachers as well, this is true. And we begin to live under a stress. And so, one time somebody said this as a joke, but maybe it's true. Said, boy, isn't the ministry great? You know, if it wasn't for the people, it would really be great. And you know, and you're in the ministry and you're dealing with this issue, you're dealing with that issue, and you're trying to serve these people, you're trying to serve those people in totally different situations. You find yourself just running here and there and everywhere and just being distracted from the main purpose that God has for you. Listen, God has a purpose for you and for me in our lives. And if we don't control our living, we bring about stress even though we're doing what is good. Now listen, Martha was doing something that in itself was good. When you have a guest in your home, what do? You serve them. And this is what Martha was so involved in, that service. Now it says that she was distracted. That word literally here means she was being dragged around. Do you ever feel you're just being dragged around by all the stress in your life? And this is what was happening to Martha because she made a bad choice. Not a bad choice in itself, but the way she employed that choice, it became all of a sudden a weight around her neck. And she was being distracted by all of her unnecessary activity and improper activity for the time, and we're going to see that. Her service became a burden to her. Jesus described Martha in verse 40 as worried. You are worrying. You are being anxious. All right? And these were things she did to herself. Now watch. She made a bad choice in the way she employed her activity. And then she paid a price for that because in our lives we have activities that we do, but results that follow those activities. They are passive things. They are things that now happen to us. A bad choice, let's say, now brings about bad consequences to us. This is true in all of life and all that we do. So, by allowing her service and her serving of the Lord to dominate her, she brought on something was going to happen to her, worrying, anxiety, stress in her life. Martha's attitude began to deteriorate. And by the way, a deteriorating attitude is always the result. Always the result of overload in our lives. And Martha was extremely overloaded. She had welcomed Jesus. She was joyful, but now we see that she was worried. She was upset. She was critical. She was judgmental. She lost her joy by trying to do what in itself would have been a good thing. She even blamed Jesus. And she blamed Jesus because she said to Jesus, she blamed Jesus for not commanding Mary to help her. Now, she was critical of her sister Mary, saying, Jesus, here she is, sitting at your feet, and I'm doing all the work. You tell her to help me, get to work with me. Trying to distract her from what she had chosen. And she blamed Christ, she blamed Mary, and so the deterioration in her life really began to happen. Stress always destroys relationships. Now let's think about that. Here are two sisters. I used to drive the school bus. You know, I drove school bus for 11 years. And I get brothers and sisters and on the bus together. And every once in a while, they would get in an argument. And I would say to them, now listen, you guys need to work this out. You know something? When you get older, get to be an old coot like me, you're going to find out that your brothers and your sisters will become your best friends. I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, I had three brothers. I didn't have any sisters. Sisters sometimes get in as mediators, and here's just four boys, right? We had our share. But today, we find ourselves calling each other regularly and checking on one another. As a matter of fact, in I think 2 weeks, Matt's gone with me here and we're going to go. I said to Barbara, you know, my oldest brother, he's older than me. Think I'm an old coot? He's in his 80s. I said, you know, I just feel I need to get out and visit my brother in Oklahoma. So we went out to Oklahoma, then I'm going to fly up, visit another brother, then I'm going to go down, visit my son, and my other two are close by. We were with Keith and Cindy yesterday, and I see my other daughter in Maryland, from time to time, and we talk on the phone. I would tell these kids, you know, you guys need to work it out. You guys need to work out a relationship between you. You will become best friends, or you can totally destroy that. Well, stress always destroys relationships. It always makes us critical. It always makes us negative. Stress always robs us of our joy and our joyful service. And the stress of overload today is destroying us. And listen to me, it is destroying the church. Progress. In that video we were watching in Sunday school, John MacArthur was telling us about, I forget what I was going to tell you. Don't get old, guys. Don't get old. And progress in our lives was meant to lighten our load. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it was like to live when there was no electricity? I want to tell you that Barbara and I lived a number of our years up in the Amazon of Brazil, up one of those tributaries, back in a little river town, no electricity. I still have, lest I forget, this lantern we used in Brazil. We called it an Aladdin, means Aladdin. And Aladdin made these lamps, kerosene lamps. And living almost on the tropics, or on the equator, just a couple degrees off of the equator, the days are evenly distributed, right? So at 6 o'clock at night, it gets dark. 6 o'clock in the morning, it gets light. And when we really started to modernize, we would get electricity from 6 o'clock at night when it got dark to 9 o'clock, and then it would go off. But for a lot of that time, there wasn't even 6 to 9 electricity. And here we sit under a lantern, just talking. It's about all you can do under the light of a little lamp. We had little kerosene lamps, didn't even have a globe on them. That yellow light coming out, you can hardly read, and the smoke coming out of the thing. So you know what we did? We went to bed with the chickens. You know, that's what everybody did. I remember when I was a little kid, we went to visit, my grandmother took us to the farm that she was raised on, and everybody would be doing their work, and we would be jumping in with them as kids, probably getting in the way more we are helping, but boy, we loved to go get the cows in the pasture down the road and bring them back and water them along the way, etc., and bring them in. Everything was done. You know what people did? Sat on the front porch of my great-grandmother's house. Now, she didn't have electricity. She could have, but she was raised with no electricity. She didn't want any electricity. And everybody would sit. We would talk to each other. We'd tell stories. Maybe that's where I got my love for stories. I love a good story. And I love to tell a story. And that's what we would do. And then when it got a little bit later, then everybody, we go to bed. Now, what are we doing today? Do you know something? In 1850, this is before electricity, people averaged, listen to this, people averaged between 9 and 10 hours of sleep a night. I told my brother one day, I try to get 8 hours. But you know, my age, I can't go to sleep. So I was complaining, I just can't go to sleep, or I wake up, and you know, all the old people stuff. And he said, 8 hours? Man, I haven't seen 8 hours of sleep in years. Well, you know what that does? Makes us burn the candle at both ends, because now we have electricity. We stay up to what hour? What hour do you go to bed? Now we work and entertain ourselves far into the night. Nothing brings stress more than this lack of sleep. Now you take the cell phone, for example. You know, we got the cell phone, and I remember in the beginning, I used to say, I'm not getting a cell phone, because I can't wait to get away from... Oops. Wait a minute, I got to take this. Hey, yeah. All right. Well, you know, thanks for reminding me. These cell phones, we can't get away from them. That was Andrew, by the way. We can't get away from them. In this life, we have so many modern contraptions that are supposed to make our lives easier. And you know what? We don't control them. And when we don't control them, you know what happens? They stress us out. They are telling us today that the social media is one of the factors that are causing teenage suicides today. You know, there are young people asleep with their cell phone under their pillow so they don't miss a text that comes in. The social media is being destructive in our society. We are making all kinds of decisions that are leading us to stress and overload in our lives. We can't get away from it. I remember a number of years ago now, this is when I was pastoring down in Bloomfield, New Jersey, there was a video came out, and it was, this video was produced by a doctor who at that time was the president of the Christian American Medical Association. And it was called Margin. One of the things that he said that has never left me in the video, I forget everything in the video, this I remember. The things that we own us. Ooh, boy, that hit home. The things that we own us. And I began to look back into my own life and realize... I remember my dad, whose father had built the house that I was raised in. I come from a family of carpenters, builders. And here he was living in the house that his father built, and he probably had helped build. When he got to retirement age, he couldn't wait to get rid of that house. You know why? There were a lot of memories there. His father, his upbringing, his family's upbringing. But he owned that house, but that house owned him. Oh, repair the water line. Oh, repair the roof. Oh, was build on something on the back, a porch, and all of these things. It was constant. He just wanted to be rid of it. And yet in our lives, in our younger days, we are like Martha. We assume all of these things, the things that we own us, get their clutches into our lives, and we are just taken up in our materialistic society with all of these things, our houses, our automobiles, our vacations, We think that they're all going to be good and they're all going to be helpful and we're going to go on vacation and oh, we're going to finally get rest. We come home from our vacation and we feel we have to rest before we can go back to work just from our vacation. We get stressed out. We take on this commitment and that commitment and we become so stressed out. We can't go on without paying the consequences. Now listen to this verse, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I am speaking of being in need. This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying to the church at Philippi, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, watch, in whatever situation I am, to be content. To be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now that's where the verse comes in. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We take that verse and pull it out of context for all kinds of things. But this is what this verse relates to contentment in our lives. What Mary had found, and we're coming back to Mary. But Martha had lost. You see, in whatever state we are in, now that doesn't mean that we can't take advantage of one of the modern things that we have today and utilize them, but they must be controlled. And so Paul's saying, I know how to be brought low. Do we? Are we content? He says, I know how to abound. Do we know how to live with a lot? He says, in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You see, only by the grace of God can we face having plenty in our lives. Not all of us have the plenty, though I want to tell you, the United States is probably one of the richest countries that have ever existed on the face of the earth. And I used to tell people when I preached, I doubt that most Americans have any idea what real poverty is. I mean, people living in little cardboard shacks. I mean, whole communities of them. And so, many of us, in our abundance of America, do we know how to control that? When we want in our lives, do we know how to control that? Hey, in our abundance, are we content? In our need, are we content or are we driven to make poor decisions because we want something? I know I face the same thing. I remember when I was a kid, I bet the time's half gone there, more than half. When I was a kid, I was always an active person. Barbara used to tell me that I'm driven. Well, before I met her, you should have seen me. I mean, everything came down the road I wanted to do. You PETA people, put your fingers in your ears. I loved to hunt. I hunted rabbits. I hunted squirrels. I hunted ducks. Before we went to Brazil, they have a cousin of a Canada goose called a brant the area I was raised in just had thousands and thousands of them. And Barbara and I were heading for Brazil, and finally it was coming down to the wire, so we thought we're just going to eat everything that's in the freezer. Well, we got all the way down to just wild duck. Both of us just got so sick of wild duck and Brant that we couldn't hardly swallow it anymore. I mean, I was into it all. Oh, I liked working in the shop, woodworking, and that's the way I was raised, and I was doing that. And you name it, I was doing. I went to Bible college and found out from the, I worked on the staff there at Bible college, found out how to make sauerkraut. Man, I was making sauerkraut, and I was working as really the campus carpenter, working on projects all over the campus. And then there was a need for night watchmen, and I said, "Oh, I'll do that." And all the time I'm trying to do my studies, etc. I got sick, had to drop out of school for a whole semester. Well, that was all right. I got better, and a hunting trip came up out to Colorado, and I was able to do that. But I was doing it all. But after I got married, Barbara had something to do with this, I have to be honest. And I thought, you know, now with my kids, I'm talking about controlling, how we have to control these things in our lives. I thought, I'm going to give it all up, except the things I can do at home. So I set up a little shop. I worked in that. I was in Brazil, so I couldn't be doing the hunting that I knew up here. But when I'd come on furlough, I did one kind. That was deer hunting. Still do it. And I limited myself. Don't always succeed at it. But I can tell you from experience that those things, as good as they are in our lives, will destroy us, will destroy our relationships. We can't go on without paying these consequences. The context is contentment here, learning to be content. You and I are subject to these human limitations. And some of us who are driven people have to realize that we can't do it all. We have to make choices. Even in the ministry, missionary, a preacher, I want to tell you, we have to make choices even with the good we do. Secondly, we have to take control of our lives and prioritize them. Now, what do we mean by prioritize? Now, this is what Jesus is talking about in this passage. He's talking about a priority. Mary or Martha had to serve. That's true. But not to the extent where that became her priority. Mary chose the best portion, and Jesus wasn't going to take that away from her. When we talk about priorities, we're talking about A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now let's prioritize them. What's the number one priority in my life? I hope you come to the conclusion that I come to. The conclusion is that it is number one, our spiritual relationship with the Lord. Would you agree with me? Our relationship to God. Now listen, when we have children at home, and I had four of them, Here, two right down here. My oldest, my youngest. We better be very careful about what we are teaching our children about setting priorities in their lives and teaching them to choose what is best and then what is second best. You don't get far down that line before the rest is just going to fall away. Mary chose the better part in verse 42. She chose to give priority to listening to Jesus over the activity. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. Here's Mary, Martha, the driven one, trying to pull her away and get her involved in all of her extra activity when this was her time to be with Jesus. In the end, this is the number one necessary thing in life. I am far from perfect, so please don't misunderstand when I use personal illustrations. But I remember the time, and this is every area of our lives. I remember the time Barbara and I got married. Somebody, you were just telling somebody this morning. Can't remember who it was. She graduated. She graduated a semester ahead of me. Remember, I got sick. I'd drop out. And she got ahead of me. She's been ahead of me ever since. She graduated one day. The next day, we got married. Of course, we had to wait a year. We got engaged, but school had a rule. If you got married, you had to drop out of school. In the end, we chose our priority at that point in our lives was to wait. We waited a year. That year was up. Next day, we got married. And I remember that night, on our wedding night, we sat down. The first thing we did was opened our Bible and read a passage together and prayed. We talked about some things, and we decided that night, she probably doesn't even remember it, but I remember. And we decided, and we were poor as church mice, let me tell you, not rich now, but nothing to compare to that point in our lives. We decided whatever God would give us, we were going to take our priority. This was our priority. I'm not telling you what your priorities are. I'm telling you what ours were. But we're going to take 10% of that. We're going to give it to God. It's our priority. And then we'll just make believe like that 9% that's left. That's how much we got paid. Now we're going to make our budget. And so we did. When we're talking about priorities here, this is what we chose for us. This was going to be a priority. Then I turned that all over to her. Whatever comes in through her hand, she said, this is how much we're given. I know it's according to our budget. Right? We still give 10%, don't we? Yeah, all right. It was a priority. Listen, another priority that we had was God's day was exactly that, the Lord's day. And we were in church. Here too, contest to that. Of course, their dad was a preacher, so I guess they didn't have a lot of choice a lot of times, but there they were. Listen, a third priority. Because the priority was God first. So that meant our finances, it meant our community, worship of God, and it meant individually our time with God. And I want to tell you this, that just as Mary sat there at Jesus' feet, we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus and making that a priority. And it's going to cost you something. I'm far from perfect. But I during those years that I was driving, 11 years the bus, I was used to getting up and spending, I'm not even going to tell you how much time because it doesn't matter. Significant. What we call growth in Christ. You ask her after the service. I thought, all right, I had to punch the clock. I can't remember now whether it was 6 o'clock or quarter after 6, something like that. I punched the clock, get around, get those kids, you know, on the school bus, pick them up, start picking them up at 7 o'clock. And so in order to get up and get ready and have my breakfast, but have my time sitting at Jesus' feet, I had to get up 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. People said, how can you get up that early? I say, well, it's really easy. If you're going to get up early, guess what? You have to go to bed early, right? Hey, this is part of the organization of our lives. So at 8 o'clock, I was conking out. In those days, I used to be able to sleep. Priorities. Now, you can get all involved like Martha. You can be a Martha. Get all involved in your serving, your service, your families, your all that you do, and forget what Jesus calls in this passage the primary thing. The one thing. The primary thing. And that is to be with Jesus. That's what Mary chose. That Jesus calls the better part. So once we have chosen our priorities and God is now first, not last, first, all of the other things are going to come into place in our lives and they're going to be things that are going to drop away because we realize we can't do it all. But I need to read at least this other verse here to you. It's the last verse in Philippians 4:6. And this is one that I've used and you have heard me in my preaching and teaching talk about depression. This is one that I use with that. Here we're going to apply it to anxiety because that's what the passage says. Do not be anxious about anything. You ever try saying to yourself, hey, self, don't be anxious. You know, something doesn't work. You have to turn off that which is causing your anxiety. With Martha, it was all that service at the wrong time. Jesus was there. And she was off serving where Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet to learn. So, in Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but, now he's going to tell us the secret. How do you not be anxious? But, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hey, listen, we need to spend time with God. We need to make that a priority. This is what Mary was doing. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. We need to meditate on His Word. We need to be thankful. We need to pray. We need to talk with God. This is our priority. And I want to tell you, when our priorities are in place, the rest of our life is going to begin to trim itself down and bring us to that area that Mary came to of choosing that which was first, that which was important. And Jesus said, and I'll not take it away from her. Now see, the other possibility for us is just to go on in our lives trying to do everything else and say, I just don't have time to be reading my Bible. I just don't have time to be praying every morning. You know what? Right away, that should tell you your priorities are wrong. When you set a priority, that's the first thing you do. You know, it's like I told you with tithing. Take that tithe first. Make your budget on the rest. That's going to determine a lot of rest, a lot of the other things. The same with our time. Let's be a Mary. Let's not be a Martha. There'll be time for serving. But choose first things first. And that is, sit at Jesus' feet. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how we praise you and thank you for this story of Martha and Mary. And Lord, we have to confess to you this morning that we have not always chosen the best thing as Mary did. We have allowed ourselves to choose things, many things, that bring anxiety and worry and stress into our lives, that rob us of the joy that you want to give us, the joy that we once had to sit at Jesus' feet. Lord, forgive us. Help us today to work at prioritizing our lives and be a Mary. Now bless each of us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.